Anytime I can get somebody from The Godfather on this show and talk to us, it's indeed a pleasure.
Johnny Fontaine will never get that movie. I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, what greaseball goombas come out of the woodwork.
I'm German-Irish.
Well, let me tell you something, my Kraut Mick friend. I'm going to make so much trouble for you, you won't know what
Mr.
hit
Walsh,
you.
Mr. Walsh, I'm a lawyer. I have not threatened.
I know almost every big lawyer in New York. Who the hell are you?
It's a pleasure to have him on, Al Martino, a.k.a. Johnny Fontaine. Al, how are you?
Oh, good morning. What a wonderful pleasure to speak to you. Yes, I do remember that scene quite well.
How you doing?
I think I live that scene almost every week.
Is there a time, Al, that you can go and nobody ever brings that movie up to you?
Oh, no, there's never a day that goes by. I mean, everybody, it's something that will probably go on for the rest of my life. It's a legend that will never stop.
Tell me about that time. How did you get the role as Johnny Fontaine? How did that all come about?
Well, it was the first call that I got was from the McGuire sisters. That's Phyllis McGuire.
Are you serious? Really? The McGuire? We've had Phyllis on the show before.
Yeah. Well, Phyllis was the one that called me on it, and she said that she just read a book called The Godfather, and she thought there would be a part in there for me because she knew my life pretty well. And she says, Al, you lived that part, that Johnny Fontaine role, and it would be great for you, and why don't you pursue it? Well, of course, I didn't know who was going to be the producer, and she told me it was Al Ruddy, and this was about a year before Francis Coppola was hired.
Uh-huh.
So I introduced myself to Al, and I walked in and said, look, you're looking for Johnny Fontaine? I think I can play this part.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is absolutely history. Yes, we became friends for about a year, and then Francis Coppola was hired, and I really didn't know whether Francis was going to endorse me because, you know, he's the director, and the director has complete autonomy. So we had to convince Francis that we could play the part.
Now, in the scene, the famous scene inside the office of Don Corleone, where Marlon Brando takes a swipe at you and screams, "You can act like a man!" when you're begging for that movie part. Did he really take a swipe at you there?
I only have one. First of all, let me tell you about Marlon Brando. He's one of the nicest guys in the world. He really is.
He's just like, nobody can ever find him.
Well, he lives up in Mulholland Drive, and we very seldom see him, too. You're right, he does hide a lot. But I got to tell you, he's not only a nice guy, but boy, can he slap hard. He slapped me once, and I says, Marlon, I said, we can only do this one more time. That's it.
Now, you were in the first movie, and then I don't know if you were in Godfather 2, but you did come back, 18 years later, and you reprised the role in Godfather 3.
Yes, well, the reason why I wasn't in Godfather 2 was because, unfortunately, we had an engagement over there in Chicago, and it was a contract that I had postponed to do Godfather 1, and I just could not get out of that contract. So I had to pass.
What do you mean you couldn't get out of the contract?
What do you mean? Bring over Luca Brasi.
Well,
Fontaine can get out of any contract.
You know something? I never thought of that.
Well, what is it, like $1,000, isn't it?
Jess, it was such an absolutely great. You know, looking back on that, I don't even think when that movie was being put together, they weren't even too sure about Marlon Brando playing that role.
No, they weren't. As a matter of fact, they didn't want Marlon Brando, but it was Mario Puzo who insisted that Marlon take this part. I spoke to Mario Puzo quite often, and he insisted on Marlon Brando because when he wrote the book, he had Marlon in mind.
Well, I got to ask you this. There was a lot of talk when the movie was made, and the movie reviewers saw your part, and I'm sure you took a little bit of heat from this, that it was loosely based on Frank Sinatra.
Well, that's the way Mario writes. You know, you pick out the character you want. And you say to yourself, well, this was this guy, this was that guy, and everyone was, there were all some extremely amount of similarities between Fontaine and Sinatra. There's no doubt about it. But one thing that I do know is that Frank had no connection with the underworld in his 20s. But, of course, in the 30s, then he befriended them the same as I did. I mean, these people were always in the audience.
But that was part of the thing. I mean, when you were going out and doing Vegas and things like that, they were always there, and they naturally wanted to meet you.
That's right. That's
and then there's always somebody there with a camera. You're there having your picture taken with somebody that might be considered an undesirable, but you can't help that.
Well, listen, now that you brought that up, the reason why I pursued that part is because, you see, I went through that. I had some of the guys come in from New York and tried to buy my contract. And my manager wouldn't do it, and they got pretty tough. And my manager stepped back and said, okay, you guys win. You can have Martino. So that was it. And that's why I wanted to play that part, because that was part of my life.
So you could identify with it. You could identify with that role, too, then.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about you're kind of making a little bit of a comeback here. First CD in 15 years. You did the House of Blues last night.
Wasn't that? I'll tell you, it was absolutely fantastic. You know, I've got a wonderful note here from the producer of House of Blues. Now, this is a man that works there. His name is Charlie Pope, and he said, "Dear Mr. Martino, a very wonderful night here last night. You exposed me to a class of music I normally would not go to see. I believe you had an impact on me." Signed, Charlie.
Fantastic.
Now, it just goes to show you that if the music is exposed to the younger element, they will like it. And the House of Blues had that opportunity last night. That was the first time that they had that kind of music.
And you bring the house down, buddy?
It was unbelievable. Yes, yes. I'm sorry to have to blow my own horn, but I got to tell you that I did.
Fantastic. And the CD's out now?
It's out now, and it's getting some very good play, and I appreciate you guys working on it for me.
Absolutely. Al, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And hope to talk to you again soon.
I thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Stan. Annie, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Al Martino, Johnny Fontaine.
We don't like being referred to as Hanny.
Right. That's Hanny.
That's something we don't like.
Right. You can either say it correctly or we can make an offer you can't refuse.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.